speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
When we read in Genesis 4, we see some things concerning worship that are of importance to us. It says that in verse 2, again, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Jehovah said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin croucheth at the door. And unto thee shall be its desire, but rule thou over it. And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. This, of course, is the first murder recorded in the Bible. It's also the first worship recorded in the Bible. Some think that because skins were given to Adam and Eve to wear, that meant they had been offering an animal sacrifice before. And that's possible. But this is the first recorded acts of worship that we know of. Cain and Abel were brothers. And they, of course, one offered what Jehovah said, the other did not. The way we know that is because in Hebrews 11:4, it says, By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God testifying unto his gifts, and he being dead yet speaketh. When a man does something by faith, it means that he does it because the Word of God commands it. Romans 10:17 still says, Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, in that, we find that Abel did what God said, Cain did not. Cain wanted to worship as he pleased. Abel wanted to worship as God pleased. And it did not go together, as you can see. And so because of Abel doing what God said and Cain not doing what God said, Cain was of the evil one. Now, you may think that's pretty sharp on my part to say that he was of the evil one, but I'm not the one who said that. Inspiration said that, and we shall be able to see that tonight as we study through. Cain was of the evil one. And wherefore was he evil, it says? Because his sacrifice was not acceptable and Abel's was. So he rose up and slew his brother. How sad it is that men today still don't want to worship as God commands. And oftentimes they hear what God says, they know they need to walk by faith, and maybe for a while they do. But then they have teachers who tell them you don't have to walk by faith. You don't have to live in harmony with the Bible. We'll show you a better theology. We'll show you something that the smart people all take, and they don't all listen to God. We don't have to do what God says. That's actually basically what they're saying. We began by noticing the inauguration Sunday here of the Murray Hills Church of Christ. Now later he's going to condemn that very name. He's going to say that is bland. And we shall see that as we continue in this study tonight. He also calls it here a new church for a new century, and it is. It is a new church. It's not the church of AD 33 that was established at 9 a.m. on Pentecost morning in the city of Jerusalem. No, that's not the one that is described here. This is a new church founded on prayer, he said, and primarily ministering to the young people, about the third line there. This is put out, as we pointed out this morning, by Larry Rogers, who is the son of Paul Rogers, who is the preacher at the Centerville Church of Christ, who held a meeting in our city just a short time ago. But at any rate, this is where Reuben Shelley made his first statement of digression, that he had been taught wrong all of his life. He was just going to be another denominational preacher now. In actuality, that was at Centerville, Tennessee, where Paul Rogers preached. Now his son is bearing the fruit of his father. How sad and how tragic it is that these children grow up like us in spite of what we say sometimes, doesn't it? On that page one, it says a dynamic vision of Murray County. And, of course, that is in the Columbia area, Mount Pleasant area, where I spoke last Friday evening on their lectureship and where I took up these same things that I'm taking up with you today. The mission statement says to rejoice in the unifying diversity of God's grace. And I pointed out to you this morning, those are contradictory terms. You cannot have unity and diversity at the same time. They're as opposite as the poles of the north and the south. You can't have unity and diversity, but these want to talk out of both sides of their mouth to talk about a university or a unity in diverse way. That's compromise, is what it is. If you compromise, then you can have diversity of teaching. You can believe different things. You believe what you want. I believe what I want. But we'll all agree to disagree. And that's unity in diversity. Number five, they want to be in touch. They want the dynamic youth program to be in touch, but not with God. And not with Christ, not with faithful brethren. What they're talking about is being in touch with fun and games. Many in this time think that that's the reason and purpose of the church. It's not the mission of the church to entertain anybody. And we shouldn't think of it that way. It is the mission of the home to do that. But the church has a much higher mission than that, and that is to preach the gospel, to seek the lost, to save, keep the saved saved, and to do benevolent work. We covered pretty well, I think, that first page. Let's go to the second. Here it says at the top of the page, membership. God will be given the responsibility of adding souls to His kingdom and judging them eternally. Now by that, I suppose that they think they have the right to give God those responsibilities. Of course, He already has taken that for Himself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. But these don't have too much regard for God, it doesn't seem, and they don't mind dictating some things that they think God ought to do. Then in the next line, he said, God's plan is not for the church to build a wall around its people. Well, it certainly is. There is that wall of protection that God has placed around His people, and His providential care is always there. But look what he says, it's for the people to encircle the church. He doesn't seem to know that the people are the church, and the church are the people. The church, of course, is that royal priesthood, that holy nation, 1 Peter 2:9, that are called out of the world, out of darkness, into the marvelous light of the gospel. So the church is not encircled by the people are the church. But then he said the church is a spiritual hospital where broken lives are mended. That sounds good, but I'm afraid their mending here isn't of much value. Obedience via confession and baptism will strictly be taught. Well, where's belief and where's repentance? Now, the reason I ask that about repentance, you'll see a little bit later when we come to the marriage, divorce, and remarriage law. They don't respect that. They think they can take those into the church living in adultery. So he doesn't mention repentance here. That's not of very great importance. Then he said this will be a regional church. I don't find anything about a regional church in the New Testament. All churches in the New Testament were in a locality. And the elders were over only that local church. We didn't find anything about a diocese or a regional church until we got to Catholicism. But here this is going to be a regional church, it says, which seek members at Lewisburg, Lawrenceburg, Mount Pleasant, Centerville, Spring Hill, Pulaski, and elsewhere. You want to know what they're looking for? They're looking for the misfits. They're looking for the disgruntled. They're looking for those that are unhappy and want to clap their hands and wave them in the air. That's what they're really looking for. So we understand what they mean by this. This will be a regional church. They want to pull them in from all around. Then it says the youth program. This is the most emphasized ministry of the new church. It is new. They're correct. It is a new church. He said we're going to search for ways to keep our young people from leaving the Church of Christ. Well, he spelled it with a capital letter because he's already determined it is a denomination. But at any rate, they're not searching the Bible for ways to keep the young people. They're searching for programs by which they may keep the young people. Watch this. In the next couple of lines, he said they're going to have frequent events. Will it be worship, you suppose, or entertainment for the young people? They're going to have frequent events that involve both the elementary and high school children. Secure, dynamic youth minister. Youth minister that's dynamic in the church's second year. Now, I'm going to do it in the first year, just the second year. You know, this is where much of the era of our day is coming in, through these who are called youth ministers. Now, they're not all that way. Don't get me wrong. There's some of them just as solid and sound as they can be. But there's a lot of them who aren't. And because of that, they're bringing the errors in, they're sopping down our young people with it, and then the young people are rising up against the church of our Lord. Then he says, look at the next thing here. He's going to have that dynamic youth minister, and he's going to have them attend Winterfest. That's where Jeff Walling is preaching this year. Jeff Walling is a liberal to the core, believes in instrumental music and worship, doesn't believe baptism's necessary for the remission of sins. Now, Jeff Walling, if you want to send your young people up to Winterfest, he'd be glad to fill them full of error. So if that's what you're looking for, go at it. But I hope that's not what you're looking for. They have already been notified up there that Jeff Walling is in error, that he is a false teacher, and that he needs to be stopped. And, of course, it remains to be seen, but we do not have much hope that they will do anything about that. But other impacting youth forums, not impacting for Jesus, but impacting for their way of thinking. And he said they'd utilize Rob Reeves and Gary Anderson as intern youth ministers. I suppose that's what Timothy was, you suppose? No, what they're talking about, they want something like Tulsa Workshop. They want something like Jubilee that is now gone defunct, I hope. I hope it's not going to rise up again. But, of course, it started with that college business, and when we stopped that, it went underground and turned into the other things that we now have now. Acapella, the vocal band, plays at these places, will at the Winterfest place. And, of course, they are the ones who split the church in Paris, Tennessee. They're the ones who are responsible for that. They're unscriptural teachers teaching unscriptural teaching. So be warned, please, about Winterfest. Then next of all, single parents. Well, why have single parents? The reason is that they have not been taught about marriage sometime, and therefore young people divorce and divorce and divorce. They've not been told that marriage is for life, evidently. Where young people are taught, they abide in the teaching. But he said this is the fastest growing segment of our population. That's probably true. Broken families need spiritual and emotional therapy that a church can provide. A church can provide, not the church. A church. Ephesians 1:22, Paul calls it the church. In Ephesians 4:4, he said there is one body. And in Ephesians 5:23, he's the Savior of the body, not a church. And so he's got his denominational thought here already revealed in what he is saying. Evangelism is next, enacted as needs-based. Well, what is he talking about here? Well, they're talking about the felt needs. They believe that we're not answering the questions of today's people and the felt needs which they have. What felt needs are you talking about? Well, they're talking about the social gospel. They're talking about taking care of the social end of these things and not the spiritual end that needs to be taken care of. They want to seek to help families have experience, that have experienced divorce, addiction, abortion, various other family problems, nothing wrong with that. But they want to utilize the youth program as a vital tool of evangelism, make prayer foundational. That is the teaching, of course, that the prayer is the foundation of the church. That's not what Jesus said. He said the teaching that he did was the foundation of the church. And Paul said other foundations can no man lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. He said, you take heed unto yourselves and unto your teaching, not your prayer. Take heed unto your teaching, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that the vital tool of evangelism they're going to utilize here? I don't see it in this. They're going to make prayer the foundational and the primary vehicle of evangelism. Outreach, they say we're going to do a 30-minute television program. They're going to tape it over at the Madison Church of Christ Studios. That's where Steve Flatt is. All of these fellows flock together just like birds of a feather. And so it is with this thought here. Community perception. Develop a Church of Christ. Did you get that again? A Church of Christ. Not the church. Not the New Testament church. But a Church of Christ. That's denominational to the core. And it says here, which will be viewed as acceptable and inclusive within Murray County community at large. Oh, it's going to be popular. You know, the church of the Lord has never been popular with worldly people. And if you try to make it that way, all you're going to do is become what these people are going to become, another denomination. So they're going to schedule various functions with other church groups. Do you know who those are? Not other congregations of the Lord's people with denominations, because they think the Lord's church is a denomination. They say we were born out of the Restoration Movement. We were not born out of the Restoration Movement. The church of my Lord was planted on Pentecost, and it was a long time before the Restoration Movement. So be sure to understand, my friends, that Paul again says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together of the same mind and of the same judgment. Go to the next one. Women's programs. They're going to develop a paradigmic woman's program. You know what that means? A model program. They're going to have a model women's program. And they're going to distribute a newsletter for these women. Have Sunday school classes, special classes, and wings. That means women in God's service. Wings. Sounds like they're going to fly, doesn't it? You know what they're doing? They're dividing and destroying. When you get a separate group for the unwed mothers, when you get a separate group for the children's church, when you get a separate group for the women's program, you've got the church separated completely. Do you know that in the Old and the New Testament, you can search until your fingers wear out, and you'll never find the women and children removed from the assembly? Never. And it should not be done now. Parents, if you're going to let these people take your children off into a little private room and play with them and indoctrinate them in liberalism, you make a mistake. You are the ones who are responsible for raising these children. You ought to keep them where you can help them and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the truth. And yes, that goes for worship services. Let's go to the mission work. Pray for God's direction to find a worthy cause after the church becomes more established. Now, they don't have a worthy cause right now. But when the church is established, they're going to pray to God for Him to give direction. In other words, they're looking for a direct leading, a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Why don't they just follow the authority of the Lord? He told them to in Matthew 28:18-20. He said all authority was His. Teach them to observe what I've taught you. Baptize them into the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. But they're not going to do that. They're going to pray for God's direction to find a worthy cause for this church. What a sad thing. Counseling. Offer free counseling at the church building. This is another thing in which they're putting their doctrine out. They don't give Bible principles in this counseling, if you don't know. That's not what they're looking for. Bible principles don't do the job. They've got to have a degree in counseling. And they've got to learn how to deal with these people. Let them tell them their problems. Lay on their couch. And many of them have gotten in great troubles doing that. But my friends, the only counseling the church has is Bible principles. Then educational program at the bottom of page 2, study what other congregations are doing. Now what they're talking about here is other denominations. They think their denomination. They're going to study what other denominations are doing and establish a curriculum that teaches both biblical knowledge and spiritual growth. I thought biblical knowledge did give spiritual growth. But at any rate, Gary Beacham came from Houston to Memphis a few years ago when we were having a program over there. He went down, he announced one night that he had spent 3 hours down at the Baptist church learning how to grow a church. He went down with Adrian Rogers, who was the Baptist pastor over there, spent all afternoon trying to learn how to grow a church. Listen, friend, a Baptist preacher doesn't even know the plan of salvation. How does he know how to grow a church? And we don't need that. We need to go to the Bible and let the Bible be our guide. Go to the next page, please. Special days. Is that the Lord's Day we're talking about? No, not necessarily. We want dynamic speakers, and look at these next two thoughts. Testimonials. Testimonials, that's Pentecostalism. Praise choruses. Oh, really? Ephesians 5:19 says, speak one to another. It doesn't say, have another speak to you. It says, speak one to another. That's everybody singing. But here they're not going to do that. They're going to have testimonials, different ways they're saved. And then they're going to have praise choruses. Though they cannot find anything like that in the Word of God. You know what our problem is now? Jesus expressed it in Matthew 22:29. Ye do err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. How sad that these are going out on their own without the proper study that they ought to be putting into these matters. Then, newcomers to the community, send them a brochure about our church. Invite them to come aboard. You better not. That's a disaster for you if you come aboard on this, because it's theirs, not the Lord's. There's no blood in theirs. There is blood in the Lord's. And when that blood seal covenant is followed, then you're not going to need to have these fellows to tell you what to do. You have what it is in the Bible. In Acts 20:28, he said that the Lord purchased that church with His own blood, and that is the church of Christ. What will cause failure? Look at number one, lack of fun. That's the bottom line, friend. Number one in importance, get that money in here, brethren. That's exactly what they're looking for. That's what they're hungering after. Third of all, lack of spiritual focus. Well, I thought the Bible gave plenty of spiritual focus. In 2 Timothy 4:1-4, Paul said, I charge thee in the sight of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. That's your spiritual focus. Then next of all, lack of initial excitement. That's going to cause failure. A workable vision. Workable vision. You know what a vision is in the Bible? It's a revelation. A revelation. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And that is a comparative verse with Proverbs 29:18, where he said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." No vision? Yes. Revelation. If there is no revelation from God, the people perish. Can't guide their own steps. Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." But these want to direct their own steps. They're going to look for a workable vision and special speakers and special worship services and vision out there at the end again. Vision statement, documented goals and thrust. Then it says, latter part of that thought, that if the church is perceived initially as being extremely radical and too far to the left of what? Eagerness to burn bridges with our fellow Christians at Highland. Now, Highland is the church they have come out of in Columbia that they divided. And they don't want to burn the bridges. No, what they want to do is draw as many of them off as they can. They want to be as nice and happy until they decide they can put that sword in their backs. And then they won't need to be happy and nice anymore. But right now, they've got to be very careful because they divided that congregation. They want as many to come out of there as they can possibly get. Other matters, down in the middle of page 3, commit a one-year all-out trial period. That's what Paul said. You go establish the church and try it for a year and see how it works. Not hardly. No, it's not a one-year thing, is it? It's a lifetime thing. But they're just going to try this one year. They're going to send a team of men to visit other churches, that's denominations, from which ideas can come. Now look at who they're going to send to in our brotherhood, Twickenham, Huntsville, Alabama, Richland Hills, Fort Worth, Texas, Highland in Memphis, Tennessee. All of these are liberal congregations, have been for many years, and it's sad that they're ultra-liberal. They're community churches in most of them, and that's not in the New Testament. You can't find a community church anywhere, top side, sideways, or bottom. Now, the Highland congregation in Memphis was, before it was called Highland, the normal congregation. That may sound like a pun, but it's really not intended to be. It was normal then. My father preached there. I was baptized there. I saw that go down because Dr. Hazlip came in there, who was also the Dr. Hazlip over at Lipscomb. And it went downhill from there in liberalism. What a sad thing. But that's who they're going to get their pattern from. They're going to get it from such congregations as these. They're going to give the church, he said, we don't want to give it a bland name, bland sounding name, like Columbia Church of Christ or Columbia Hills Church of Christ or Murray Hills Church of Christ. When you look on the front of these papers, what do they call it? Murray Hills Church of Christ. But that's a bland name now. You know, they're not going to keep that because that's a bland name. It'll soon be Community Church. You watch it and see if it doesn't. Well, I wish the Lord had a vote in this, but he doesn't seem to have. They don't want anything to do with the Churches of Christ. They want to visit with Dr. John Mark Hicks over at Lipscomb. I imagine you already know about him, but he's ultra-liberal too. And then it says at the close of this, special emphasis on an effective Sunday night worship song service. But you know what they're going to head for? House churches. They've already shown that in the other crossroad things, such as prayer partners. And now they're going to have the Sunday night worship. It'll be entertainment. It'll be what they call fellowship in the homes. It'll be house churches. All right, then long-range plans. What's the best thing they can do in these long-range plans? Build a new building. You know, I think we were saying a few weeks ago that when you have a car that is running rough and you go to the mechanic and he says, I'll tell you what that car needs. It needs a new coat of wax on it. And so he waxes it, and it looks real pretty, but you know the motor still runs rough. He said, we need to put some fender skirts on that. But when he gets through, the motor still runs rough. He says, we need to put new hubcaps on it. You see, all of this doesn't fix the problems that are here. And a new building is not going to fix this. A new building will not make this a faithful church of our Lord. Next of all, he said, we're going to establish an ecumenical Bible chair. Do you know what that is? That's all-inclusive denominationalism. Ecumenical means we're going to get along with everybody. And we're going to call all the denominations together at the Columbia State College, Community College, and we're going to establish a day school. My, what important objectives. I wish they'd go to the New Testament, don't you? The next page, he talks about movements. Movements can survive anything but a lack of hope. Yes, that's right. Especially when they're new and unfounded in the truth. They don't have much hope, really. And the sooner they die, the better. Then he says the following are reasons that I am pessimistic about the future for the Highland Church of Christ. He's not really pessimistic about it. The Highland Church of Christ is where they came out of. But he is talking about why he is pessimistic about it and why he didn't want it to be like Murray Hills. They have the wrong pattern. You know, Moses is told in Hebrews 8:5, see that thou make all things according to the pattern which God gave unto you. Now, that's what's wrong here. They're not following the pattern that God gave us for the church. So out of the one that they divided, he said, here's the reason I don't think it's going to last, because 98% of all plateaued churches, that's churches that have come to a certain plateau and they can't rise any higher, he thinks. But in whose eyes are these churches plateaued? Well, in his eyes, evidently. The statistics, he said, from Dr. Wayne Kilpatrick. Now, he's one of the ultra-liberals of Birmingham, Alabama. If you don't know him, you ought to get acquainted with Dr. Wayne Kilpatrick. He tries most everything except what the Lord says. But he says he's the one that had his doctoral thesis on how the church was declining. And he said Highland has steadily declined since the 1950s. Well, they took out about 40 people. They claimed it was about 400. But I talked to a man after the services there. He said it wasn't that many at all. Number two, they, of course, are, he said, there are not any young couples at Highland. Not now, because they took them out, I imagine. You see, you let these fellows get in, and they began to work with the young couples. That's where they start. Then, after they have done all of their dirty work, they began to say, you know, these elders are popes. And these elders that have been tried and true for many years, they're not faithful. We just can't stand this. If they don't get out, we're leaving. And you know, sometimes the elders get out. But they didn't at Highland, and I admire them for that. They stood fast against the liberalism. When the First Christian Church left a few years ago, we let them have the buildings, the bank accounts, the songbooks, the Bibles, everything we had. They just took it over. We just walked out. But we made a mistake. And we had to rebuild from the foundation up nearly. But now we're having elders who are a little smarter than that. At least they're thinking a little more. They're not going to let these fellows steal the property from them. The Highland elders didn't do that. And he called several couples here that they took out with them, with their children. But then at the last, or next to the last sentence, I believe it is, all of this is self-defeating and innocuous. It sure is. Liberalism always is self-defeating. And there is no substitute for the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Number three, the building project he's talking about at Highland is defunct. It will be until they can get back what they have lost in these people. The building program, he said, was our only hope for a new start. Evidently, he thought that would really give them a going concern there when that new building came. He said they have caused decline because of their plateau. Well, a new building's not the answer any more than polish on that car is the answer, is it? They just had to get rid of the cancer, which was the liberalistic brethren, before they could get better. Now, he said, some 50% of the membership has been brainwashed with legalistic theology for their entire lives. They've just been taught the Bible, isn't that sad? They've just been taught the Bible. He doesn't want a legalistic theology. Well, you know, they claim if we follow the Bible, we're legalists. Well, you have one choice beside that. You can be illegal. Or you can be legal. I've always wanted to be legal. Do what the Lord said, because on the other side of that coin is illegal, and I haven't desired to walk there. He said they're not going to change their views of salvific judgmentalism. He means by that, they're going to stay with the plan of salvation found in the Bible, and they're going to tell people, if you don't obey the Lord in this way, you're going to be lost. He says that's salvific judgmentalism. Well, the Lord does say that we're saved only in Christ. And Ephesians 1:3 says all the spiritual blessings are in Christ. John 7:24 said, judge fair judgment. Judge according to the facts. And that's what the brethren are doing there, and he doesn't like that. Number five, he said the youth program is not only dead, but it's history. And reputations are scarred in this community. I doubt that very seriously. I doubt that they're scarred as much as he thinks. He said, I heard this before I came to Highland. And now I see more clearly than ever. Well, he came on anyway. He was willing to take their money. He was willing to take their work. But he wanted to destroy it from the inside. And that's the kind of people that we have in these liberal movements. Number six, the current number of elders has diminished, but they're firmly anchored. Isn't that great? By those that remain. They will only choose men who share their belief system. Good. That is the only hope that congregation has, if they're following the Bible. And he said, recent elders and deacons meetings have revealed that they have some young men who share their belief system. Wonderful. Glad they do, if they're believing the Bible. He calls that a toxic faith syndrome. Bible faith is toxic. It's toxic. Well, it is for him. In fact, he's awfully sick. Number seven, he says, the marriage divorce position of the elders not only limits the membership by some 50%. In other words, they could have 50% more if they take in the adulterers. Isn't that what he's saying? But he said it also restricts evangelism. I asked a preacher one time who wanted me to recommend him at a place. I said, are you still teaching that we can baptize adulterers without their repentance? And he said, oh, yes, I think that hampers our evangelism if we don't. I said, well, what if they're homosexuals? Do they have to repent before they can be baptized or not? He didn't answer. And I didn't recommend him. All right, let's go back. Who's going to place membership at Highland? Says it down about the fourth line there. Well, I'll tell you who will place membership at Highland. Those who are of honest and good heart, who are faithful to the Lord and want to do what's right. And that, my friends, is the kind that will build the kind of church the Lord wanted. Now, in the latter part of this, he talks about, in my discussions, last line, I believe, only a very small percentage of our membership holds the elders' marriage and divorce position. Well, what is the right position except what the Bible teaches? Matthew 19:8-9, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery. And he who marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now that's the Bible position, but these people don't like that. They don't like that. Baptism, though, my friends, and listen to me closely, please. Baptism has never sanctified an adulterous marriage. And you can baptize an adulterer. When he goes into the baptistry, he's an adulterer. When he comes out, he's still an adulterer. And it's not right. They have to repent. And these people here, he says the church, number eight, is currently divided. And the reason is they're not under the elders, you know. They're commanded in Hebrews 13:7 to obey them that have the rule over them, but they've divided the church because they don't intend to do that. There's a large group of persons, he said, who are loyal to Curtis Dowdy. Now, that's one of the faithful preachers and the elders, and you might add, to the Lord. Because Luke 6:46 said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Well, here's a young man who really has a problem. He doesn't want to follow the New Testament pattern. Let's go to the last page quickly. Our time is gone. Number nine, the leadership is not going to break precedent with the fundamental beliefs of Graymere, Northview, and other churches in Murray County. Well, you know why? Because those churches are going by the Bible. And that's where unity is. It's in truth. Nowhere else. If you don't follow the truth, then there is no way you can have unity. The Bible is what these people are following, and therefore it's great that they stay in unity. He said they're solidifying their legalistic positions. He could have put scriptural positions, but he calls them legalistic. And he said, I know from my upbringing. That's number one problem. Number two, and from graduate study, that's where he's getting his problems. He didn't have the right teaching in his home. He didn't have the right teaching in the graduate school he went to. And he said, because of that, these people are of this mindset. They only get tougher and smaller. Our elders are viewed as heroes by these types of churches. Amen. I think they're heroes too. They stand where they ought to stand, fourscore for the truth. Number 10, the incident of Robert W., and I do not know who Robert W. is, but he says it set back the progress that had been made in worship, and it will take years for this to be resurrected. I can tell you what I imagine on this. I imagine he took a stand. I imagine he took a stand for the truth, and they said, oh, it's just going to take years to get over this. He said further, it's obvious that most of our people do not want a contemporary praise service. See, he just shot himself in the foot. Contemporary praise service. What is that? Do you know? I'll tell you what it is. It's clapping when somebody's baptized. It's singing happy birthday when they're baptized. It's putting your hands in the air and swaying in worship. That's more holy. Did you know that? And it is that which is hollering or clapping like they're at a ball game somewhere. That's the contemporary praise service. Now, a lot of these congregations are having two services on Sunday morning. One they call a traditional service, traditional. And the other they call a contemporary praise service. And in the second one, they have the Holy Spirit guiding them. They're just wide open for anything. I'm going to read you some statements next, Lord's Day. I don't have time to do it now. But I'm going to read you some statements from Reuben Shelley's book that will show you exactly where all of this is coming from. But he's talking about a contemporary praise service that most of the people don't want it. Isn't that great? They want to worship God in spirit and in truth, as John 4:24 teaches. And he says here they feel more comfortable with the 1950 style service. Now, he's got a new style. But he said this is only going to bring more decline. We had a friend a few years ago, if I may take just a minute or two more. And this friend of ours preached in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we were in school with him. A good friend at one time. But you know, Johnny Ramsey came after he'd been there 10 years. After this preacher had been there 10 years, Johnny Ramsey came. And he preached for one solid week. I don't know whether you know Johnny or not, but he is a Bible preacher. He preaches the book. And you know, when that meeting was over, this young man got up and he said, what it has taken me 10 years to build, Johnny Ramsey is torn down with 1 week of Bible preaching. Can you imagine anybody making such a statement as that? I'd have been ashamed. Even if I'd have thought it, I wouldn't have made that statement. But that's what's happening, my friends. Bible preaching is going to tear these people up. They don't want it. Number 11, during my first 2 years at Highland, some 200 persons placed membership. Oh, really? And they are generally regarded as credible people in our community. Watch this. They have good families, money, and rich faith. Uh-huh. I see. He said if this could not reverse the trend, what trend? Bible-following people. Then what could or can? The leadership generally regarded these new members, watch this now, as a threat to the church's identity. You know why? Because they were a threat. When I wrote the tract on new translations, what's wrong with them, we'd had a young couple move into the Houston area, and they attended for a while where we were. Boy, they were on fire. They were doing things. They were going to town. And when we were in a Bible class one time, of course, in my Bible classes, I don't allow these new translations to be read. But at any rate, when I called on him to read, he read one of them, the NIV. I said, sir, we don't read the NIV in here. He said, why not? I said, do you really not know the reasons? And he said, no, I don't. I said, okay. It was close to the end of the class, and I said, if you will, we'll take the next class period to tell you why we don't read from the NIV. So I showed him all of the errors, faith only, and the errors of premillennialism, all the 5 points of Calvinism. And when I got through showing him those points, he said, what's wrong with those? See, he didn't even know the false doctrines. And so that's the reason I wrote the tract on new translations. What's wrong with those? But at any rate, these people don't know the identity of the New Testament church. Number 12, the fundamental reason for the current discord is the doctrine of salvation. Now follow this. The doctrine of salvation is causing discord. He says the main issue here is not merely about personalities. The elders believe that the Church of Christ is absolutely the only church to the extent of condemning all others who do not subscribe to their beliefs and practice. Now watch this. In what? In worship music? He wants instrumental music. In marriage, divorce, and remarriage? They want that. And they don't want anybody to say anything about it. In the Holy Spirit? They want a direct guidance. And the church membership? They want to be a denomination. And heaven and hell issues? They think they're heaven and hell issues. They are. They are. Read your Bible, and you'll find it to be true. Then he says further, this fundamental, self-defeating belief is at the root of every single decision. Wonderful. Bless those elders' hearts. In their view, there is no room for gray issues of diverse unity. Diverse unity. Now, if you haven't learned by now, those are two opposite terms. I hope you've seen that. Diverse and unity don't go together. You can't have unity and diversity. They're as opposite as daylight and dark. But he said, although I try to appreciate their sincerity, bless his little heart, I believe that taking the elder's position will bring the condemnation from God. You see how mixed up this young man is? Luke 10:16, Jesus said to the apostles, he that heareth you heareth me, but he that despiseth you despiseth me, and despiseth him that sent me. In John 12:48, he said, the ones who reject me, there's one that will judge them. The word that I've spoken, the same will judge them in the last day. Well, he says, last of all, for me, this is a matter of serious concern. For my soul's salvation, it is wholly theological. Well, theology means the study of God. And if he were studying God's book, he wouldn't have these problems, my friends. It is said in Acts 4:12, and none other is there salvation, neither is any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. But that doesn't appeal to him. In Acts 20:28, he said, take heed unto yourselves, speaking to the elders, and unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. But that doesn't interest him. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not will be damned. But that doesn't interest him. That's just theology. Just theology. Friend, the plan of salvation is given in the New Testament, and which every example in New Testament shows is that you hear the gospel, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess the precious name of Christ before men with your mouth as your Lord and Savior, and be buried with him in the waters of baptism to wash away your sins. If you'd like to do that tonight, you can become a member of the New Testament church. It's not mine. It's not a church. It is the church of the New Testament, the church of Christ. And if you have one time been faithful to the Lord's church, and now you've turned back into denominationalism, you need to repent, friend, because you are in danger of eternal judgment and destruction. So don't put it off. Even come tonight, if you will, while together we stand and while we sing.